Today, my dear faithful, is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. But today's Mass you will find taken from the 5th Sunday after the Epiphany. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps, gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Suffer both to grow until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather first the cockle and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barn. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, some time ago, there was a devout young girl whom we shall call Genevieve. Genevieve's father was a doctor, and he often had his little daughter come along with him to the hospital to visit the Sisters of Charity who were nurses there. One particular afternoon, just after school, her father asked if Genevieve would like to come along with him again for a quick trip to the hospital. He just needed to pick up some papers, so it wouldn't take too long. She gladly agreed, and so off they went. Her father went into the office, and Genevieve went off to find the Sisters of Charity that she had befriended. To her disappointment, she was able to see the sisters only for a short time, as the sisters, as usual, were very busy. This young girl headed back to her father's office to wait for him to finish. On the way, though, while she was walking past a certain room, a man's voice echoed through the hallway, filling the air with curses. Genevieve turned at that door and saw an older man lying in a sick bed, his face twisted in anger as he yelled at one of the Sisters of Charity. The sister quietly walked out of the room, while the patient watched her with fury written across his face. As she left, though, the man saw this innocent young girl at his door with a look of shock and sadness plainly on her face. The man quickly fell silent, and he stared at her in shame. Little Genevieve immediately walked to him and said, in all innocence, "You said some curse words. That is not right." The man fidgeted nervously in his bed, but he still said nothing. So this young girl continued, "Tell God you are sorry, and he will forgive you." Now a look of sadness crossed the man's face, as he said, "God hasn't much use for me. I often talk that way." Genevieve thought for a moment, then said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you my statue of the Sacred Heart. Every time you feel like cursing, just look at our Lord and say, 'My Jesus, mercy.'" Just then, Genevieve's father came in. "There you are," he said. "It's getting late. It's time to go home." A good girl, she immediately obeyed and followed after her father. But just as she was about to leave, she glanced back again at the sick man. The next day, Genevieve went with her father to the hospital again. She did just as she said, bringing her statue of the Sacred Heart and placing it by the man's bedside. The sick man smiled gratefully at her generosity and thanked her for the gift. The little girl asked him how he was feeling, and then asked, "Did you go to confession?" The man's smile at her concern gave way to the shamefaced look of the day before, as he shook his head and said, "I have not been to confession since I made my first Holy Communion." "My poor bad man," said Genevieve, "how black your soul must be. Tell God you are sorry and tell your sins to the priest. God will forgive you." "I have been too bad," the man said, as he sadly shook his head. "God does not love me anymore." "Yes, he does," Genevieve exclaimed. "But maybe you have forgotten. The next time I come, I'm going to bring my pictures of his passion." And so it was. For a third day in a row, the little girl, Genevieve, sat next to the sick man's bed. And this time, she held her pictures of the Stations of the Cross. She explained each one, leading the man along the way of the cross. She pointed out all that our Lord suffered, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns, the carrying the cross, and death itself. And all this Christ suffered for love of all men, including him, this poor sinner. Throughout this, the man listened intently to every word. Finally, he sighed and said, "You win. Go and get the priest." Father soon came, heard the man's confession, and gave him Holy Viaticum and the last rites. After it was all over, the man turned to Genevieve and peaceably smiled at her. He thanked her for all her kindness towards him. And soon after, he passed away at peace with God. Today's gospel, my dear faithful, our Lord told the parable of the field of wheat and cockle. The field represents the world, and God is its owner. The wheat that he had planted are all the souls who have sanctifying grace. These are to be taken into his barn of heaven. However, an enemy, the devil and his legion, has planted cockle or weeds among these good souls. The cockle are sinners that the devil has tempted and led down the path of sin. As the owner said in the gospel, these sinners are to be burned if they are not converted. And the fire that will punish them is the eternal fire of hell. Heaven or hell, each and every soul ever created has an eternal destiny. Each one will be judged at the end of their life, and they will be found either worthy to enjoy the bliss of heaven or punished with the pains of hell. What is not included in the parable of today's gospel is that the cockle can be turned into wheat. Any soul, no matter how black they have become through sin, can be converted to leading a good Catholic life by God's grace. But God very often uses mankind as his instruments of grace. As Father Garrigou Lagrange, the eminent theologian and master of mystical and ascetical theology, as this great teacher of the faith wrote, it is never by chance that two immortal souls meet. In other words, every time two persons meet, even though there are millions of meetings every single day, God foresaw that meeting beforehand, and he has a plan for it. As Father Garrigou Lagrange continues explaining, be it that they are each in the state of grace, or that only one has the divine life of grace, the souls can, by its prayer, its attitude, its example, bring the other to the right road, which leads to eternity. We then, my dear faithful, are to help our neighbor save his soul. That is true charity, true love of our neighbor. Theologians define charity as a divinely infused virtue by which we love God as the highest good for his own sake, and our neighbor and ourselves for God's sake. Charity thus includes our neighbor, loving them for the sake of God, and it does not mean we have to love them for their own sake. That is very helpful to know because at times we may not naturally like our neighbor. There may be something about them that rubs us the wrong way, so to speak. Just as I'm sure there are things about each one of us that others cannot bear in us. But charity does not ask us to like them. Rather, it demands we love them. It demands we are ready to help them in some way, if it be possible. Now, charity seeks good for the one loved, especially the good of happiness. And the highest good a person can have is the eternal happiness of heaven. Little Genevieve in the story, in all her innocence, she practiced true Christian charity. What did she find when she first met her poor bad man, as he called her? A bedridden sick man, filled with rage, cursing and swearing at a consecrated religious sister. That's not the most likable of people. But that did not daunt this little girl. She saw a soul committing sin, and she went to help lift that soul up out of the mire. And the reason she did this, and was able to have such a powerful effect on that man, was on account of her pure love for God. Now, it is true, Genevieve had one great asset that not everyone has, the sweetness of innocence. It is not often possible to do what she did. And yet, we can practice the same charity that she had. That is, by giving good example to our neighbor, especially through kindness. As one author put it, kindness has converted more sinners than either zeal, eloquence, or learning. And these three have never converted anyone unless they were kind also. That is how each of us can help win souls to God, to, as Father Gary Lagrange tells us, to bring the souls to the right road which leads to eternity. And so, my dear faithful, I urge you to work for the cause of God and help save immortal souls by practicing kindness. Kindness in word, kindness in deed. These are the easiest ways to practice the love for neighbor that love for God demands of us. Holding back that caustic comment, lending a hand instead of standing by to watch. These little acts of generosity can have untold effects on souls. And today, when so many souls are lost amidst today's confusion, when there is so little to help them and lead them to God, who more than we, the few Catholics that, thank God, have the true faith? Who more than we should practice that charity that God demands of us? This is part of our Catholic faith, part of our love for God. God has given us the gift of this tremendous faith, but as our Lord forewarned us, unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. Much has been given us, my dear faithful, and so much will be required as well. Live your Catholic faith then, my dear faithful. Practice charity toward your neighbor. Kindness in word and kindness in deed, these are the ways you can win souls for heaven. Again, you may not be thanked for it. You may not be appreciated for it. But at the end of your life, you will see what good you have done for souls. For then you will behold all those persons God has used you to give grace to, souls that you helped to heaven by those little acts of kindness. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.